Buddy, and welcome to the Buddy Mind and Soul Podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Buddy Mind and Soul Podcast. I know it has been a long time since I've uploaded. If you've been keeping up with me, you know that I have finally graduated university after 7 extremely long years of my life. University is typically done in about 4 years, but my life is a little bit different, as most of you guys know. And 7 years has been a really long time coming. I'm just so glad to be done with school. School is not for me. I have never enjoyed school, but I'll talk about that in another episode. Today I want to talk about one of my favorite subjects to talk about. I have talked everybody's ears off about this topic, and it's ADHD, which is Attention Deficit and Hyperactivity Disorder. And it wasn't until I've learned about this in the past year or so that I've really gone into wanting to learn more and wanting to spread the information about this disorder, because I think a really important part for me when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do in school was to figure out what exactly did I want to do in general? What did I enjoy doing in general? And to me, that was literally talking. Hence why I have a podcast, because I just love talking. No, that's not the point. I love having conversations. I think that this place of loving to have conversations came from a place of loneliness as a child. I found that I didn't have a lot of friends. I had a few friends in elementary, but when I moved in middle school, I was very isolated. And of course I had siblings, but my siblings had their own lives. And I got very involved in having internet friends. And with internet friends, since you can't see them in person, you're really just constantly talking online. And I loved having conversations with them, but you learn so much more from people than just the normal stuff that you do at school. We talk about heavier things. We talked about our mental health. There were a lot of things that I learned as a young kid through these friends of mine. So once it came time to figure out what I wanted to do, I realized that education was not the area that I wanted to major in anymore. So I could only think of going into psychology. There wasn't any other major that I could see myself doing. I knew I wanted to help people. I knew I wanted to have these conversations. And then I wanted to focus on mental health and self-care, self-healing. There were so many things in that area that piqued my interest. So with that being said, I have finally finished university and now I'm here in the present. But I know that I unfortunately do not want to continue my education at the moment, school-wise, getting my degree, but I want to continue my education on my own and learn on my own and to be able to inform and share with others on my own time, because it really is something that brings me joy and happiness and that I'm passionate about. Becoming a therapist was pretty much what I had in mind when I came into this field, but you have to get your master's in order to become a licensed therapist and continue on to do that work. But I realized that even if I were to do that, was that something that I actually wanted to do? And long term, if I could see myself doing that day in and day out. And aside from even getting the master's degree or not, I don't think long term that I would enjoy it, because what I enjoy are the conversations, the openness, and the connection that I make with others when I have these conversations. Not to say that a therapist and their patient wouldn't. It just is very different. It's professional. There are boundaries. There are things that cannot be said for liability reasons. So, all that to say, here I am on this podcast using everything that I've learned and researched to help share and inform and just do something that I enjoy. So for liability reasons, I'm not a licensed medical professional. This is not professional advice. Please advise with your psychologist, your doctor, your psychiatrist if you think that you may have any symptoms, and do not self-diagnose yourself. Don't be like me. It's just to help me have a different perspective and others have a different perspective on why we function a certain way, how we can look into ourselves and see a different side of ourselves that we may have been too harsh on, and give ourselves grace to work and to improve and to grow. So let's get right into today's topic, which is, again, ADHD, attention deficit and hyperactivity disorder. So with ADHD, there are three different types of categories that ADHD can fall in. You can fall in the inattentive type, or you can fall in the hyperactivity type. And then the third would be the combined, where you have your inattentiveness and hyperactivity types. So I'm sure you're wondering if I learned anything from taking my courses in psychology, and surprisingly I did. I did have a course called Abnormal Psychology, and in this course we learn about all of the disorders, pretty much everything in the book that you, well, the standard, the general disorders and diagnoses that are common today that you would see, anything related to the body, anxiety, trauma, ADHD, PTSD, and depression. So it's a lot more, but just to give you the gist of that course. So when you become a psychologist, a psychiatrist, anyone in the medical field, you follow the DSM-5, which is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. There have been different versions. Right now they're on 5. So in order for a psychologist, psychiatrist, or doctor to diagnose a patient, they must see that the patient meets the following criteria, such as meeting 3 to 6 in each category or area and meeting those symptoms. So I'm going to briefly give you some symptoms that are on the criteria for the DSM-5 for ADHD. So this is just to give you an idea of the symptoms of ADHD. This does not mean that you automatically have ADHD. Again, you must be diagnosed by a licensed professional, be evaluated, and make sure that you have this disorder. But with that said, this can still be a good opening for you to learn more about yourself and become more aware of symptoms that you may have. So I'm going to briefly go over some of the symptoms in the DSM-5, and this would be for older adults and adolescents. One would be often failing to give close attention to detail in the workplace, at school, often having difficulty sustaining attention in tasks or conversations, lectures, reading, often does not seem to listen when spoken to directly, having a conversation with someone telling you instructions, and your mind can be wandering, things like that. The inattentiveness of your mind when someone is speaking to you. Often does not follow through on instructions and fails to finish schoolwork, chores, duties. Often loses things necessary for tasks or activities, such as your wallets, glasses, keys, phone, misplacing things, and then not paying attention to where you put them, and it just seems like it kind of poofed into thin air, which happens to me quite a bit. So there are just a few more symptoms I would like to go over. This has to do with the hyperactivity and impulsivity side of ADHD. So fidgeting or having certain stimming with your hands, skin picking, biting your nails, for example, shaking your knee, just certain physical things that are typically what we see as bad habits can be a sign of ADHD. Another symptom is talking excessively, interrupting, blurting out stuff before it's your turn, the impatientness and waiting in conversations. I think that with this, a lot of people think that it's normal, but it's not normal when you and someone are talking and one person is constantly talking and constantly interrupting. And I have dealt with this, and I've become so aware of this when I'm talking because I love talking that I really try to pause and listen to the other person before I just interrupt or start saying what I want to say because I'm scared I'm going to forget. I think that's a huge thing on why a lot of us interrupt is because we feel that if we don't say it right there and then, we're going to forget it and it has to be said. But really, it's just about becoming more aware of that, learning how to listen and focus on what you want to say and then say it when the time is right. I think with me, a huge thing is that I like making jokes, so it's really easy for me and a lot of the people I'm around to just make a joke of what the person is talking about as soon as it happens. But even though I know that that's happening, I will still do it because it's funny, but I will immediately stop talking after that and listen. So I know with that, it could be seen as interrupting. But knowing that I myself am stopping and listening still as the person continues to speak and not taking the conversation over. There are so many symptoms in the criteria, so just know that if you meet a couple of these, this does not mean that you have ADHD or that you should be diagnosed with ADHD. It simply just means that you could possibly have symptoms that relate to this. And I'm never trying to say that you need to change because it's just a part of who we are. It's really just about becoming more aware of your actions and how you go through life. So now that I've read through the serious stuff of ADHD, I think that just going through those lists of symptoms really opens my eyes, and I hope your eyes, to see that ADHD is really a misunderstood disorder, has a lot of misconceptions of what it is. When we think about ADHD, we think about a young child that is super fidgety, super hyper, can't stay still, can't focus, they need to take medication. I feel like that is the standard of what we think about ADHD. And the truth is that ADHD is a highly undiagnosed disorder in adults. And I think the more I learn about it, and I'm sure as you learn about it, you'll realize you probably know quite a few people with ADHD. And the thing with this is that I don't want it to be a bad label. I think when I first came upon learning about this, I would literally tell everyone, my friends, people I know, oh my gosh, this is ADHD. I'm pretty sure that's ADHD. This is a symptom of ADHD. I think I have ADHD because there were so many things that just didn't make sense. But I think because of the misconceptions around ADHD, it almost came off like I was telling people they had ADHD, and it was probably perceived as an insult because people think, oh, if I have ADHD, that means I'm this super hyper inattentive person, and that's not what I'm trying to do at all. What I'm trying to do is say, hey, I see that you act this way or you do this and blah, blah, blah. It was more of me observing myself and then seeing it in other people and realizing there are ways that we can actually work around this. I think a huge thing for me that I did not realize was learning and reading, especially having the difficulty of not being able to retain what I just read on a page or want to really read at all, unless it really piqued my interest. And I feel like this is one of the most relatable things is reading an entire page and having no idea what you just read, and then trying to do it again, and it's still the same thing because your mind, you're thinking about what just happened in the past, what's going to happen in the future, and you're not paying attention to what you're actually reading. And this is a symptom of ADHD, or at least I feel it is a symptom of ADHD because of the inattentiveness. We're not focused on reading what we need to. We're focused on daydreaming. And it was extremely hard for me to learn, especially in school, because we're reading boring ass books about history, the government, shit I do not care about. I'm focused on my friendships, my relationships at the time. So I just really felt like academically, I was not as smart as my peers because I could not focus and learn the material that they seem to learn so easily. So I really want to talk about the moment that this all started for me, discovering ADHD and discovering that something was going on with me internally in my brain. It was actually a really scary moment for me because I had never felt this sense of losing control of my brain, my mind. I thought I had short-term memory loss. I was forgetting everything and losing everything. And this all happened during COVID. So I want to say right before I moved in April of 2020, I was obviously at home, day in and day out, not doing much with my life, and time was not even real at that time. But as I was moving, I was losing a lot of things. For example, I lost my social security card that I had just gotten a few weeks before because I needed to get my passport. And I moved, and then I had no idea what happened to it. I remember it was in my car, but that is the last time that I paid attention to my social security. And that is significant because if you're not paying attention to these important things, then you're gonna have no fucking idea what you did with them, even though you're doing it. And that is the scariest thing ever. And what really woke me up, I think it was also with my birth certificate. So I had like my social security and my birth certificate, and I had no fucking clue where it was. So it was extremely, extremely stressful. But after a few days, I'm cleaning, and finally, randomly, I look under the bed, and there it is in an envelope, a single envelope under my bed with my social security in it. And I just felt so stupid. Like, you kind of feel dumb, but you're kind of like, thank you, past me, for being smart and putting it here, knowing that I shouldn't have put it like in a box of something. But it's still like, what the fuck? Like, it's still a mind fuck. I have no recollection of putting it in there. And that's the craziest part, is having these gaps in your brain of not remembering a lot of things. Around that time as well, I was really into smoothies. I buy these frozen fruit smoothie packs. And I remember I had opened a bag and put it back in the freezer. I used half of it. When it came back to the freezer, there was a completely unopened bag. And I go to ask my roommate, hey, is this your bag? She said no because she doesn't make smoothies. So I'm here tripping, like, when the fuck did I buy a new bag? What happened to my other bag? I don't remember ever finishing that bag. I don't remember buying a new bag. And it's so minuscule, but just not having that memory of using the rest of my smoothie bag made me really feel like I was losing my mind. But even at that time, I did not put two and two together. I had no idea ADHD was even a thing. Well, like, that could be related to that. I just thought I was having short-term memory loss because I was at home, I was doing nothing with my life, and I was probably under the influence. But, you know, it all just made things worse. And I remember sitting down with my friend and having this conversation of how It was really hard for me to learn in school, and I thought I was having short-term memory loss. I told them. It felt like I was confessing to them because I had no one to talk to about this, and it felt like such a relief to just tell somebody, like, hey, I think I'm losing my mind. I have no idea what's going on. And so we kind of just came up with the idea that I can only learn when I care about someone. Or the person that is teaching me is significant in my life. That is when I'll pay attention the most and I'll learn the most because I didn't care about who was teaching it, which I do feel like is a valid statement. I think we tend to want to pay attention more when we care about who is teaching us, but it didn't necessarily give me all the answers that I needed. It did just help me have this moment of, okay, I need to figure out what the fuck is going on with me because I can't live this way. So, to go back to the traits and symptoms of ADHD that really resonated with me, I didn't realize how much the symptoms varied and how much I related to them until I started learning more about it. And I think that is the beauty of social media nowadays, is that we are exposed to learning so many more new things than we would have if we never created this platform to be able to share things. Like, I don't think I would have ever learned about it at all. And unless they teach you that in school, which they don't teach us half the shit we need to know. but it really has changed society drastically. And although there are awful things to social media, we all know there are really great things as well. So some traits that I realized myself is having that highly creative side. So I always wanted to do a lot of things. I wanted to learn instruments, I wanted to paint, I wanted to sing, I wanted to dance, and I wanted to do it all. And having interest in everything was always something I really enjoyed, but I think it was just because of that endless curiosity that my brain had. I just always wanted to try new things because it would get me excited and it would boost my brain with dopamine. And dopamine is a huge factor of ADHD. So, researchers say that people with ADHD will typically have low dopamine, so we're constantly searching for that dopamine boost. Whether it be in music, activity, learning something new. So we'll start to focus on things that make us excited, bring us happiness and pleasure. And when we focus on them, it's not like how other people focus on it. We hyper-focus, and hyper-focusing is when a person is really engaged or interested in the activity or hobby that they're doing. And they pretty much tune out everything else that they were interested at the time is no longer, and they're just focused on this one thing. And I didn't realize how much I was that person until I really learned about this. So I know that in the past there are probably a ton of things as well, but a big thing is my recent hyperfocus on slime. And this happened earlier in the year. I posted about it, I was making little videos, but I literally have no idea what it was that pulled me in. I just was scrolling one night and then I came across slime videos and just the content, and I was up watching slime videos for hours. You can ask my boyfriend, he would be sleeping, I'd be up at night scrolling, watching these videos, and I was like, oh my god, I have to have it. Even though I knew goddamn well that I was not gonna keep this slime forever and that it was just kind of useless because you can't really do anything with slime. You just squish it and then it's done. But for some reason, I needed that slime. So I think it was within the span of like 1 or 2 weeks, I spent like $100 on slime and I recorded every slime that I got. There are, I think, maybe one or two videos that I have not posted online because I was over it so fast and realized that I was like It's just like that shameful feeling, like, what I'm talking about. So that's how it felt. I was just like, wow, look at me now. I have, it wasn't a lot of slime, okay, but it was one more slime that I did not need in my life that I probably couldn't even afford at the time, but it was my priority and it was my focus and it brought me happiness, so nothing else mattered. But aside from the hyper focusing on the slime, it was the impulsiveness of me buying the slime because of that dopamine boost I felt from watching the videos. So there are a lot of things about myself that I have been aware of for a really long time, and impulsiveness has been one of those traits. I realized it a lot when I was dating, when I had crushes on people. I would become very impulsive. I've also always been a very impulsive shopper. If I see it online and it's on sale, then I'll like buy it immediately in 2 seconds. And even now, I still have that trait where I will still do it. Like, I'll go to checkout and everything, and then I'll just sit there and really debate whether I need this or not. And lately, I've been doing so good. I have not been buying things I don't need. But a lot of the times, I'm just like, treat yourself, But I'm trying not to get into that mindset because I really don't need a lot of the things that I buy, like the slime. The impulsiveness I didn't realize was in other aspects in my life, such as buying stuff. So in my younger years, I realized I was really impulsive because of sending texts or going to see people I was dating. I would always react very quickly, and I would send texts that I didn't mean to send, but I just had to at the moment because of this impulsiveness. I just had to say what was on my mind. I couldn't sit and think about it. It had to be done. When I would go through breakups or these weird phases with people I was dating, I would try to tell myself, I'm not gonna see this person, fuck them, blah blah blah. And then later that night, I would feel one emotion, and then I'd be like, hey, can I come over? And then I'd leave and be on my way. And like, it was really bad. And it was just because I was so focused on going with my emotion rather than stepping back and giving it time and really assessing the situation. So impulsiveness can come in many aspects in your life, but it is another trait or symptom of ADHD that is seen. So I always think that these episodes are going to be short, but this one is kind of going on a little longer. So I think I'm going to have to break this one in 2 episodes as well. I don't know why I always think I can squish it into one, because I fucking love to talk. So I just need to. It's hard, okay? It's hard. So there's going to be a second part that I will talk about working memory more, executive dysfunction, procrastination. Other things that are a part of ADHD and that I've struggled with as well. But I'd like to finish off this episode with another thing that I just recently discovered, and I did not realize that it was related to ADHD. And that's the beauty of learning about any mental disorder, is you don't realize how much everything is fucking related until you start learning about it. And it's really mind-blowing. You're just like, oh my fucking God, this is what happened, and I'm not going crazy. But I had saw something the other day on Instagram that was saying those that were diagnosed with ADHD or have ADHD are more prone to being gaslighted. So if you don't know what gaslighting is, it is a psychological manipulative tactic that people will do towards their partner, friends, coworkers, anyone in their life, family, in order to have a sense of power or control over them. So gaslighting is when someone makes you feel like you're misremembering things, misunderstanding things, or that you did something wrong, and they'll make everything feel like your fault, and then you'll believe it. That's the general idea of gaslighting. So the thing with ADHD is that because we feel that we have these moments of inattentiveness and forgetfulness, that the person that is gaslighting us will be able to use that to their advantage. So they'll tell you things like, why should I trust you? Because I can't even rely on you to remember to take out the trash, to do this. You always forget this. Just making you feel like you're incapable of doing things, remembering things. And it really got me thinking. I feel like because of ADHD or the traits of ADHD that I have, I feel like it is almost an advantage to me in those scenarios because there was a situation, a real life situation in my life where the person was trying to say that they did not say this, and I was telling them, this is how I remembered it, and I wouldn't strongly feel this way if I didn't have an association with you saying it. And I think that the way my brain works is for conversations that I have with people in the past that are not like a significant thing, is that I will associate it with what was happening that time, what was being said, and that's how I'll remember it. I'm not just going to do something differently because I wanted to. If you told me something you wanted me to do, I wouldn't do it any other way just because I wanted to. So in this situation, it was my word against this other person's word, and it got to a point where this person told me, I'm sorry you misremembered it that way. So that's a form of gaslighting, is when they apologize, but it's not an apology. They're apologizing because you are the one that's at fault, not because they're the one at fault. And I don't even want an apology for things like this. It should have just been a matter of let's agree to disagree and let's move forward on the same page. It should never be to a point where someone is making you feel bad for misremembering whether you did or didn't. I think it just obviously depends what the conversation was about. So, pretty much, this person tried to gaslight me into thinking that I was misremembering what they had said when I strongly felt like I did not mishear them and I remembered it differently. And people that gaslight you will try to dismiss how you feel and make you pretty much just feel like you're in the wrong. So I think that's a huge thing with ADHD that can be seen as a weakness, but I see it as a advantage strength of being able to focus on how you feel. And I think that was the biggest part in that situation for me was I didn't feel like I was lying. Like I was not lying to this person. I was being as honest and as genuine as I could be and telling them, this is my truth, this is what I remember, and they thought that I was lying. So it can be a difficult thing to navigate when you're having conversations, but just trying to make sure you become more aware of what you're discussing and making physical notes. And telling your brain, this is an important moment for me to pay attention right now to this conversation, so you have that recollection to fall back on, so that you aren't prone to people like this that want to have control and take over and manipulate. Because unfortunately, there aren't a lot of people like that out in the world, and we just have to do our best to trust ourselves and not let others dismiss or control what we believe. So, with that, I'm gonna conclude today's episode. There is so much more I wanna talk about, but I'll save it for another episode. I hope that you guys have learned something, if anything, from this episode. I hope that this can help you in some way, and thank you so much for listening. Bye bye.